Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is January 22nd, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by a very special guest, Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig. How are you today?
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday to you. Happy January 22nd.
Oh, my gosh. What a week. What a great week. Busy week, short week. We have President Biden sworn in. It's been just a crazy week altogether. So
absolutely crazy, not only in the world of the commodity trades with the volatility continuing to shine, but also with, of course, our economics in our economies and the global economies, and an inauguration that was different than all others that I can ever remember.
Yeah.
Flags instead of people. What a wonderful ceremony, despite the fact that there wasn't a lot of people in attendance. Amazing opportunity for this country.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of positivity ahead, so I'm excited about that. Hey, Craig, we got to do it. We got to talk about our sports picks because bad at it, and you're very good at it. So I thought, real quickly, I'm going to go Bills.
Okay.
Because I'm biased.
Yeah,
me too. And that customer out there that's a Chiefs fan, sorry. I'll go why not? I like both guys, so I don't know. Green Bay, I'll go Green Bay. Green Bay Bills.
All right. Well, you've got the same. I'm going to pick the same two, and for similar reasons. One, I'm a Raiders fan, so I can never root for the Chiefs.
Understood.
Even though Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback.
Amazing.
I just want to root for the Bills, and we've got a Bills fan in-house, so let's go Bills. And then as far as the Packers, Bucks, I'm never going to be a fan of Tom Brady.
I know,
a Raiders
where you're going.
Fan as well. So and Aaron Rodgers is a Cali guy as well. So I'm going to go the same route. The Bills and the Packers, and they're very biased in that, and hope that we see those two teams prevail.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then, of course, I really hope our lottery numbers hit today, Mike. This might be the last podcast.
Could be. I don't know. We should do one just so people don't know we won. But anyway.
That's right.
So let's get started. And I thought today, Craig, nothing better to talk about, but as we just mentioned, a new administration. And we could dive into sugar policy and how the new administration will deal with the sugar policy and what impact our listeners might have out there, either on the supplier user base. It feel like we're rolling it back. We're rolling it back, as they say. Tom Vilsack, back as the Secretary of Agriculture. Let's see who he appoints as his undersecretary. Maybe a familiar name there as well. We shall see. But what's your opinion on what we might see in the coming year, if anything, on sugar policy?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is that with the nomination of Tom Vilsack, you've got a veteran, someone that's been there and done that before. So he has been in that role and understands the nuances of how to get trade policy incorporated in an environment where it may not be the number one thing on the items of to-do list that Mr. Biden, our president, has in front of him. He's obviously got a few other things that he's got to be mindful of first. And so what we would presume is that the team that he's going to put forth is going to be, again, a veteran team that's going to allow them to try to maneuver within Congress to get things done without having to be reliant on the executive branch to step in and help out and promote whatever it is that they need to get done. We do have a farm policy in place, at least for the next couple of years, which will allow him the avenue to promote whatever it is that they're attempting to get accomplished. And, obviously trade is going to be number one on his hit parade. It's the China deal continues to move forward and try to support the farmers. And Vilsack is a supporter of farmers, his background. So I believe as far as it pertains to sugar policy, we should see status quo, at least for the moment, And certainly I don't see them giving up additional market share in any additional free trade that they're going to be discussing. I believe that our sugar policy is pretty solid as far as the way the producers view it. And I don't see him changing that. I think the big one, Mike, will be is whether or not there will be some urban freshmen or newly appointed Congress members that would try to push the SNAP program to achieve a little bit bigger percent of the total pie as far as what goes into the farm policy as we get into the next negotiation.
Got it. Okay. You know, one of the things that we've been hearing rumblings about, which I think is good for our listeners, certainly if you're not familiar with sugar-containing products and you want a little education on it, certainly reach out to us. But what's your opinion right now on what you're hearing with sugar-containing products?
Yeah, it's a topic that used to be very popular back in the early 2000s, right before we had full free trade with Mexico on sugar. There was maquilas that were built specifically right at the U.S. Mexican border that were kind of growing this category. We had always traditionally had a component of our quote-unquote supply-demand balance coming from sugar-contained products and dry blends particularly that would come in using the Canadian route, bringing in sugar number 11, refining it in Canada, blending it with something and delivering it into the United States. However, when we got through free trade, it kind of dissolved the need for that with a lot more Mexican sugar showing up in our marketplace. But when you have instances where there is a real constriction on supply, and of course that changes on a price shock, you start to get creative again. And what we've seen is a pretty sizable increase in non-reporter imports on the S&D table for the WASD report, or if you're looking at different USDA statistical tables, you'll see non-reporters. That's trade houses bringing in sugar. That's end users bringing sugar direct consumption at their plants, and additional concepts of things like sugar-containing products, which is a high sugar content blended with some other ingredient. Well, what happens, Mike, when you have that? Is that yes, it adds to supply, but not necessarily direct consumption. Not every pound of that sugar, whether it's non-reporters from just direct sugar imports or sugar-containing products, gets introduced into the demand cycle, or in this case, the manufacturing plants for direct import or consumption. And so USDA can't track that. So what they basically do is every pound of the non-reporters that they show is entering, they immediately do one for one on the demand side. So it will be very curious, and it's estimates out there of anywhere from 200,000 to 300,000 tons of this demand will go away because we won't need all of those non-reporter imports. You know, they've been as high as 9 or 10% of our overall supply. But if you're anticipating a normal beet crop this coming crop season and a normal cane crop, we won't need that much. So you might see a reduction in just not the import side, but demand.
Sure.
So where we got to be careful, everybody out there, is to just presume that our deliveries for food use number is going to stay the same, and that a one for one, if you don't see it as a non-reporter import, that it's going to go straight into a beet processor's deliveries or a cane refiner's deliveries.
Got it. Okay. Well, if you want more information on that and got more questions from that, you know where to find us at McKinney-Favelle.com, or just give us a jingle or send us an email. So
that's right.
Craig, there's one other thing I want to promote before we leave everybody today, and that is on February 3rd, we're having another webinar, and it's our Key Ingredients 2021 webinar. So if you're sitting around there doing some budgets, saying, hey, what are the key things that are going to drive, what are we focused on for particular commodities as we go through the year? It's a great webinar, nice down and dirty webinar to give you the highlights of what we're watching and what may impact those markets. So
absolutely.
Look forward to the invitation. You'll be able to find it on our website, easy to register. So look forward to that February 3rd. And that is at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So awesome. Forward to it.
I'll be there. I'll be talking a little bit.
You'll be presenting.
Corn wet milling, yeah.
Yeah.
Corn wet milling industry and the corn market. Nothing going on in those markets at all.
Exactly. I'm just going to put my head in the sand again. Anyway, well, you know, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every Bill touchdown that you can and every Green Bay touchdown that you see.
That's
and
right.
Until next week, take care, everybody.
Hey, have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.